Well, the awful news I bring you now is that the transfer of Andrew Chan and Myuran Sukumaran to the execution island of Nusa Kambangan is underway. There are images of two armoured vehicles, heavy armoured vehicles, leaving the prison in Bali just a short while ago. This decision to move the prisoners has angered the lawyers for the pair, who've accused the Indonesian government of not respecting the rule of law. Earlier on the program, we spoke with the Foreign Minister, Julie Bishop. She had this to say about today's developments.
I, as a former lawyer, think it would be totally unacceptable, indeed unthinkable, for executions to take place while there are still legal avenues open.
And yet it seems they are. That was the Foreign Minister, Julie Bishop, speaking to us before this exit from the prison in Bali was underway. But if you're near a television set, have a look. You'll see the images of these two heavily armoured vehicles leaving the Bali prison, and they do have Andrew Chan and Myuran Sukumaran on board. Tim Lindsay is a specialist in Indonesian law. He's the director of the Centre for Indonesian Law, Islam and Society at the Melbourne Law School. Tim Lindsay, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran.
Well, this prisoner transfer has now commenced. Tim, what happens now? How long do these two young Australian men have before execution? Because the Attorney General says he won't order the executions until he's satisfied with all the conditions on the prison island. Are we talking days? Are we talking weeks? Is there any room to move here?
It's just impossible to say at this stage. It could be a long period of some weeks. It could also happen within days. What often happens is that when prisoners arrive on Nusa Kambangan, within a day or so, they are given 72 hours notice. That could be soon after arrival. And in that period, they are able to meet members of their family, speak to a lawyer, and receive spiritual counsel if required. After the 72 hours, they are then taken out. They're dressed in white, taken out from the prison, handcuffed. They're accompanied by a doctor, a prosecutor who's in charge of the process, and again, a spiritual advisor of their choice. They are then taken to an execution place, which is usually in a forest or on a beach or on a mountain. There's one being prepared in Nusa Kambangan. There, crosses are prepared. In this case, there'll be a number, around eight, apparently. They're handcuffed. They are tied to the crosses. They have a choice of sitting, squatting, or standing. They are offered a blindfold. Then a firing squad of volunteers stands between 5 and 10 metres from them, and a doctor places a black mark on the location of their heart. The firing squad, some of the members have blanks, some have live ammunition. They don't know what is in their gun. Is there a number of people being executed? Members of the firing squad will be allocated to each of the people being executed. They are shot. After they are shot, a doctor determines whether they're alive or not. The prosecutor in charge of the firing squad also attends. If they are not dead, then the head of the firing squad is able to shoot them above the ear in the temple with a gun a number of times until the doctor confirms they're dead, and their bodies are then placed in coffins and returned to the families.
I mean, Tim, hearing you describe that, it is just horrific, and I think most people are horrified that that this is going to take place, and many people are opposed to the death penalty anyway, but when you hear it spelled out like that, I think the word used by the Prime Minister this morning was revulsion. We're revolted by this notion. Are we at the end of this process now? Now that these two men have been transferred or on their way to transfer to Nusa Kambangan, there is no chance of intervention anymore at this barbaric process that you just outlined will go ahead now?
Well, Fran, all forms of execution are pretty revolting. I don't think there's any way of executing people that isn't.
But no.
Yes, I agree that this will be a pretty repulsive process. No, I don't think it is over entirely. There is always hope. While the prisoners are alive, there is still hope. And as Foreign Minister Bishop pointed out earlier, there are two legal processes underway. One is the appeal against the refusal to review the prisoners. Denial of clemency. The other is the investigation into corruption and the original trial. And there are still members of the Indonesian elite who are strongly opposed to the executions. They are not a majority, but they have been pushing pretty hard for some time to stop the executions going ahead. The Minister for Law and Human Rights himself came out a couple of weeks ago and said Indonesia should reconsider its position. The governor of Jakarta came out, Basuki Purnama, known as Ahok, and called for them to stop, and he's very close to the president. We've had the former Chief Justice of the Constitutional Court and other judges saying it was time to stop the executions. There is significant international pressure because this is not all about Australia alone. There are other foreign nationals. The British have two on death row. There are French citizens. The UN has called for a stop to it as well. Indonesian leaders know that whatever happens with Myuran Sukumaran and Andrew Chan, the current crisis in the bilateral relationship will just be replicated.
And yet this goes ahead. So there's these legal proceedings they're still in the middle of. You had the Australian foreign minister saying it's unthinkable, unacceptable that they would go ahead with these executions while those legal processes are still in play. You've got all that international protest, and yet still it goes ahead. Why is the government not waiting at least until the legal avenues, this appeal, is heard? Don't they risk not just the fury of the countries whose citizens are being killed, but opening up a whole critique of, you know, Indonesia abandoning the rule of law?
I think they do face that sort of risk. In a formal sense, in terms of positive law, there's nothing to stop the executions going ahead because no court ordered the contrary. But Indonesia does have a formal separation of powers, and for the executive, as represented by the Prosecutor General and the President, to decide to go ahead while there are matters still in the other branch of government, the judiciary, is a serious issue and a serious breach of separation of powers on any reading. And of course, executing people before legal process is a complete is a breach of natural justice on any interpretation. So I think it will result in criticism, including within Indonesia, by human rights groups. One of the reasons why the pressure internally has not been as great as it is that the civil rights and human rights groups, who would normally be highly critical of capital punishment and have been for a long time, see President Joko Widodo as under real threat politically at the moment, and they have to choose between supporting him and supporting human rights. And the comments about linking Australian aid to this issue was, I think, quite a serious mistake, because it meant that a lot of civil society, instead of pushing the human rights issue, moved to support, as they see him, their president. Mm. And so a lot of traction was lost. A lot of support from civil society was lost by those remarks.
Tim Lindsay, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Fran.
Tim Lindsay, a specialist in Indonesian law, the director of the Centre for Indonesian Law, Islam and Society at the Melbourne Law School. And just repeating the news that Andrew Chan and Myuran Sukumaran are now on their way to Nusa Kambangan. That's the island where the execution will take place. They have been taken from Kerobokan prison in Bali in two heavily armoured vehicles.